Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. The zip code is 11369. Thank you for joining us this morning. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, and we will read verse 11. Then contended I with the rulers and said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king of Persia. He was tasked with the restoration of the walls and gates of Jerusalem. The gates and walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar in his conquest of Jerusalem about 70 years earlier. The knowledge of how Nehemiah rebuilt the gates and walls of Jerusalem is instructive to us in our walk with God. He arrived in a city that was broken and ruined. Nehemiah prayed to God before he left Babylon, and he asked God for wisdom and instructions and insight in how to help his city rebuild their gates and their walls. And God gave him instructions and gave him wisdom and knowledge. Nehemiah 2:17 tells us, "Then said I to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach or disgrace among the nations.'" Nehemiah was speaking to the elders in Jerusalem. He had just come back from evaluating the condition of the walls and the gates in Jerusalem, and he found them in a very sorry, broken-down condition. The stones had been toppled over. The gates had been burned. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make sure that Jerusalem would never be a threat to Babylon again. So he destroyed the walls and he destroyed the gates. The only good thing that can be said of that city is that the temple of God in the middle of the city had been rebuilt and the presence of God dwelt therein. If you remember reading in the book of Ezra, you will see or remember that Zerubbabel had returned earlier and had rebuilt and restored the temple in Jerusalem. Even though he didn't restore it to the glory of Solomon's days, it was restored to the point where the people of God could worship and offer sacrifices in the temple. Now that the temple had been rebuilt, the gates and the walls needed to be rebuilt. And no matter what condition the city was in, as long as God was present in that city, there was hope for that city. When your walls are torn down and the gates are burned, as long as somewhere inside of you or somewhere inside of your city, there is a little worship going on, there's a little praise going on, there's hope, there's faith that the walls and gates can be rebuilt and the disgrace will be taken away. But instead of being happy to see Nehemiah come back, the people who lived in that area were deeply disturbed and they were deeply upset that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. And from that, I understand and I want you to understand that we should not expect everybody to be happy when God sends a blessing your way. But there were two men in particular that did everything in their powers to kill the work that Nehemiah tried to do. The first guy was named Sanballat, and the Bible says he was a Horonite. The second person was named Tobiah, and the Bible says he was a government official, an Ammonite. They tried everything possible to stop God's work from progressing. They tried threats. They tried criticisms. They tried ridicule. They lied. They tried mockery and discouragement. They tried intimidation, fear, and even conspired to fight against them, threatening the lives of Nehemiah and the other leaders. But Nehemiah always prayed, and God answered him. The people tried to discourage, and the people tried to intimidate Nehemiah. But Nehemiah was on a mission before God. His mission was to rebuild the gates and the cities of Jerusalem. Not so much unlike our mission in this life. The gates and walls to our lives are sometimes torn down, sometimes destroyed, sometimes wrecked, and sometimes we have to go before God to ask God to restore the gates and walls in our lives. Because the Bible said that a city without gates or walls, it's open for destruction. Anyone can come in and go out of your city or that particular city. In Nehemiah 6 and 3, Nehemiah said, when the enemy came to try to distract him, Nehemiah turned to the enemy and he said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to talk to you? Nehemiah had tunnel vision when it came to the things of God. And the same thing should happen in your life when God has instructed you to do something, or when you know that it's within God's providence, within God's power to have you work or to do a certain thing. You cannot be distracted to the left or right. You must say, like Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work that I am doing stop while I leave it and come down to you? They didn't want to talk to Nehemiah. They wanted to distract Nehemiah. They wanted to hinder the work of God so that they could cause the progress of the walls and the gates to stop. The enemies of the city wanted to stop Nehemiah because they wanted to have continued free access to the city. Just like people who are trying to destroy your lives, people do not like to see you repair or rebuild the breaches in the walls of your life. People do not like to see the gates of your life repaired. They are threatened because people like to keep you where they met you or where they first found you. And if the gates of your life, the walls of your life are wide open, they have free access to walk in, to wreak havoc in your life, to do anything they want to do, and then leave at will. But walls and gates are built for a reason. The walls were built to keep the good in, and the gates were built to keep the bad out. When your life is wide open to anyone who wills to enter or exit, your life is destined to confusion and failure. After completing the walls and gates in Jerusalem, Nehemiah spent the next 12 years restoring worship and order to God's city of peace, Jerusalem. Nehemiah then returned to Persia for about 12 months, about a year. Nehemiah 13 and 6 tells us, but in the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes of Babylon, I returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king to return to Jerusalem. Even though Nehemiah had rebuilt the physical city of Jerusalem, the spiritual city's walls and gates had once more been destroyed. We see in Nehemiah 6:16 that it took Nehemiah 52 days to rebuild the walls and gates of Jerusalem. It took him the rest of the 12 years that he spent in Jerusalem the first time, restoring worship and obedience to the word of God. And Nehemiah left for only 12 months, and when he returned, he found the city had once again degressed into spiritual decay. How could the spiritual city of Jerusalem be destroyed in 12 months? And to find that answer, we must understand who we are. God made us spirit, soul, and body. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 these words, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You notice here that the Bible said your whole spirit, soul, and body. Many times when I would use this phrase, I would say your body, soul, and spirit. But there's a reason why the order is spirit, soul, and body. That's because we are, in essence, spiritual beings clothed on with flesh on our bones. So on the inside of you lives the true you. You are a spiritual being that God has chosen to clothe with flesh. And so sometimes our bodies on the outside get battered and broken, but with proper rest and nourishment, we are back up on our feet and around working again in a couple of months. But when the spirit on the inside gets broken, it takes much, much more time to heal. You can heal physically on the outside much quicker than you can heal spiritually or mentally on the inside. But when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem, he found out why the spiritual city of Jerusalem was still in a broken down condition. Make no mistake now, you will not be completely rebuilt until your whole spirit, soul, and body is mended by the hands of God. And only God can mend a broken spirit. Nehemiah 13:1 tells us, "On that day, they read from the book of Moses." That's the day in which Nehemiah returned and began to restore the city spiritually again. And we can learn something from this. We can learn spiritual restoration in our lives if we listen very carefully to how Nehemiah rebuilt the city of Jerusalem spiritually. The Bible says in Nehemiah 13:1 again, "On that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should even come into the assembly of God." Notice here, the people listened to the word of God. They heard the word of God. They learned from the word of God. And what did they learn from the word of God? They learned that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the temple of God. The reason God gave this commandment was because the Ammonites and the Moabites had mistreated God's people, and God was not going to allow them to do it again. As a result of the people listening and hearing and learning the word of God, verse 3 tells us of Nehemiah 13 that the people separated themselves. The reason the people had to be reminded that no Moabite or no Ammonite should ever enter the assembly or the temple of God is because in Nehemiah 13:4-5, we find these words, "And now before this, Eliashib, the high priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of God or the temple of God, was allied or related with one called Tobiah." That name may ring a bell with you. Nehemiah 13:5 says, "And he had prepared for this man, he had prepared for Tobiah, a large room which previously they had stored the grain, the frankincense, the articles or the utensils, the vessels of God, the tithing of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the offerings for the priests." The name Tobiah should ring a loud bell by now. It should sound very familiar because he was the arch enemy of Nehemiah and the rebuilding efforts of the gates and walls of Jerusalem. We see his name mentioned in chapter 2, verse 10, verse 19 of chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 6, verse 1. What I'm saying is that this man Tobiah had somehow gained access to the temple of God through his friendship with the high priest, and he had taken the things of God out of the temple, and he had made a home inside the temple of God. Now, how does this relate to us today? Romans 15 and 4 tells us, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." The house of our God, the temple where God resides, where God lives, where God dwells, had been turned into some sort of hotel or motel for this man Tobiah to move into. The Bible said a large room or a chamber was prepared, was fixed. It was made comfortable, made ready for him to move into. For the very man who had tried to destroy God's work, now the high priest was making a room ready for him in the temple of God. All of God's holy things were moved out to make room for this enemy of God. I hope you see what I'm saying here, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And then in 2 Corinthians 6:15, we find the same parallel passage. Can Christ agree with the devil? Can a believer share life with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." I hope you see what is going on here in this passage. The high priest of God moved the things of God out of the temple and moved into its place, one of the arch enemies of Nehemiah. And he allowed this man, this pagan, to move into God's holy temple to set up house in God's temple. And what are some of the things that he moved out of the temple? He moved the grain offering. He moved the frankincense. He moved the articles or the vessels or utensils. And he moved the tithe of grain, the new wine, and all of the oil in the temple. The holy things that he moved out of the temple was to make room for this man whose history was abusive and destructive to the people of God. And without the holy things, the temple worship was hindered or stopped completely. See how making provisions for an unbeliever who does not believe the same things you believe can hinder or break down your relationship with God? The grain offering or the meal offering was the dedication and the sanctification of your work to God. It was presenting to God an offering of your sanctification. When it was offered to God with no leaven and it was mixed with oil, the oil being a type of the Holy Spirit, not only is your sanctification hindered, but the work of the Holy Spirit is hindered if you move out the grain offering out of your temple. Jesus was that grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died alone to be resurrected for us all. John 12:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And then they moved the incense out of the temple. What I'm saying to you this morning, dear people of God, In order for you to be a true child of God, you must not allow anyone to move the holy things out of your life, out of your temple, because it's with these holy things, your prayer life, your Bible reading life, your consecration, your attendance to church service, your study of the Bible, it's with these things that you worship God with. And the high priest allowed this man, Tobiah, to move into the temple of God, moving holy things out in order to move in the unholy things that Tobiah lived by. He moved out the frankincense, the incense. Without the frankincense, the prayers of the saints were hindered. The Bible says in Revelation 5:8, the golden bowls were full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Another thing that Tobiah moved out of the temple was the articles or the vessels that the priests used in daily worship. They were the holy vessels used in every part of worship, the bowls and basins for the blood, the trays for the showbread, the forks and the shovels for the brazen altar, the cups for the drinking or the pouring out of the drink offering. Without these seemingly small items in life, sacrifice would stop. Your offerings would stop. Your sacrifices would stop. Your worship would stop. No bread could be on the tables. No fire could be under the burnt offerings of sin. Tobiah moving in shut down your temple. The Holy Spirit took a back seat in your life when you allow a pagan such as Tobiah to move into your life, an unbeliever to move into the house of God, the temple of God, which you are. God killed the king of Persia for throwing a party and drinking out of one of these same holy cups. Everything in the temple was holy. Everything that came near God was holy, and the same must be true in your life. Perhaps the reason you don't have peace, or maybe the reason you can't get prayers answered, or you keep ending up in the same place over and over again, or you keep going around in circles, maybe you have moved the things of God out of your temple, and you've moved in some unbelief in your temple. Nehemiah asked, why is the temple of God forsaken? And today I ask, why is your temple of God forsaken? The Bible said, we worship in spirit and in truth. We are above all else spiritual beings wrapped in a body of flesh. And as spiritual beings, we are being built up into a spiritual house, a temple of God. God is building within you a spiritual house where he can live and reign forever and ever. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Nehemiah was so upset at what the high priest had done. The Bible says in Nehemiah 13:7, he says, I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of God, and it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all of the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the holy articles of God into the house of God, the grain offering and the frankincense, all of the things that were necessary for worship. What the Bible is telling us here, it may be time for you to throw out some of the unholy things in your life and to move back in the things of God in your life.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.